August is here, and that means it's time for our monthly chat with Amy Bethgee, the Director of Health at the Housatonic Valley Health District. Amy joins us here on Robin Hood Radio each month to talk about various health issues and about the items in her monthly newsletter. Welcome, Amy. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. Thank you so much for having me back this morning.
August is National Immunization Awareness Month. And these days, sometimes immunizations can be a bit controversial as to whether to get them or not get them, and other concerns people may have. What does the health district have to say about immunizations?
Like you said, Mike, August is National Immunization Awareness Month, which means we really want to inform and educate all of our community members about the immunizations that they should get and that they can get each season, and just enable them to make informed decisions regarding vaccines. Vaccinations protect both individuals and the broader community. And the way vaccines actually work is by teaching our immune systems to recognize and fight disease. What we know is that some people cannot receive certain vaccines because of medical conditions that they may have. This particularly pertains to folks sometimes in the older adult population or some infants who may be too young to become vaccinated. So what this means is that community protection becomes especially important. And what that community protection is called, and some folks may be familiar with this term, is herd immunity. And that herd immunity really helps us reduce the spread of disease, because what happens is that when disease is going through a community and the disease recognizes that many folks have been immunized against it, it enables the disease or prevents the disease from spreading to folks as easily as it could if a number of folks were not immunized against the particular disease. We like to share that vaccines undergo extensive testing before approval and continue to be monitored for safety over time. Vaccines don't just protect the person receiving them, like I mentioned, but they can help us protect our grandparents, infants, and neighbors who may be medically vulnerable. And vaccination is one of the most effective public health tools that we have. So if folks are interested in receiving flu vaccines or any other type of adult routine immunizations, I'm proud to share that HVHD will continue to offer many of these vaccines at our annual flu clinics that are coming up in October of this year.
Something they do these days that wasn't happening back when I was younger is you can get these vaccinations at your local drugstore and even some other locations. And just talk a little bit about how safe. Some people have a bit of a trepidation about going to the drugstore and having the clerk give you a vaccine. Can we talk a bit about how that works and what let people know that it's okay?
People should go where they feel the most comfortable. If that's with their own provider, that's a great option. If that's with us here at the health district, another great option. Or if that's at their corner drugstore or one of the larger drugstores, that's a great option too. Every individual who's giving this vaccine has to be trained. They may be a nurse, they may be a doctor, they may be a pharmacist, but they've received that training to enable them to provide vaccines in a safe and healthy way. So I think really what's most important for everyone is that comfort level, and I encourage everyone to go where they feel most comfortable.
You say you do have vaccine clinics. Anything coming up in the near future?
We have some back-to-school childhood immunization clinics. We know it can be tough for parents to get into those provider offices ahead of that back-to-school time, so we do offer those immunizations for anyone who needs them right before back-to-school. And then as we get into the fall a little bit more, as we head into October, November, a little bit in December as well, we offer those annual flu clinics that we run every year in each of our towns. And we've started to partner with a local pharmacy as well to provide some other routine adult immunizations. So I really recommend, we'll have some more information about those clinics in the months to come in our newsletters, that it's kind of one-stop shopping for anyone who's looking to get their annual vaccines. We would encourage them to get those vaccines with us at HVHD.
The next thing I see is public health updates, and we have cyclospora, which causes a parasite. Can we talk a bit about what's happening on that front?
Yes. So the United States is experiencing actually its largest recorded cyclospora outbreak. And what's driving this, unfortunately, is contaminated produce is believed to be responsible for many of this illness that's occurring. Symptoms, unfortunately, can last for weeks or even months. So what we are encouraging everyone to do is wash and properly prepare your produce. And this can really help reduce your risk of getting that cyclospora. What residents should do and what we recommend that they do is contact a healthcare provider if they experience prolonged gastrointestinal symptoms. Unfortunately, we heard a bit more recently about where some of this cyclospora outbreak was originating from, but it is very widespread across the United States this summer. So we're still doing some contact tracing on that. So again, if you are experiencing any symptoms, prolonged diarrhea, any type of stomach upset, we recommend that you reach out to your provider so that we can continue to track some of the spread of this cyclospora.
We also have a West Nile virus you speak about a bit in your newsletter, and it looks as though we're pretty clean at this point. Maybe some advice to folks about mosquito bites and what they can carry and how you can prevent that.
What I do want to alert everyone to is that West Nile virus has been detected in mosquitoes in Connecticut. So human cases have not yet been reported this season, which is really great. But unfortunately, that West Nile has been detected in mosquitoes. What happens is that mosquitoes become infected after feeding on infected birds. Peak mosquito activity generally occurs between dawn and dusk, and doing certain things like eliminating standing water around your home is actually one of the biggest and most important preventive measures. For me in my backyard, sometimes we have tarps out, we're covering things. There might be puddling in certain areas or pooling in certain areas. We really want to make sure that we're eliminating any kind of standing water that's around our home or where we spend, an excess period of time if we're out in our yard, because in fact, even a bottle cap full of standing water can become a breeding site for mosquitoes. So really, it can be just a very small amount of standing water that can cause this issue. So again, I recommend that we drain, dump, and clean out any containers around our homes at least once a week, because that prevention really starts right in our own backyards.
Is there any danger of getting this around bird feeders or places where you have birds hanging out, like bird baths and such?
I would say that standing water is the biggest issue for mosquitoes. Where they're going to become infected after feeding on birds is, that could be widespread. When we're seeing some of the information come through about where West Nile has been detected within mosquitoes in Connecticut, it's in a number of different towns across the state. So I wouldn't highlight that as a large source that we should be concerned about. It's really more so the standing water that we want to prevent.
We talked last time about storm safety, foul weather safety, if you will, and it seems that weekends especially are times where we're having some pretty wicked storms at times. I know I was awakened earlier this week by thunder and lightning, and I swear it hit right on our property because the house shook, everything lit up, and the sound came just about at the same time as the lightning. That was followed by a huge downpour. But we've had a lot of rain, some flooding, again, the lightning. We had the events in Salisbury that took place that took out a lot of trees and stuff. Can we talk a bit about emergency preparedness?
Exactly like you said, Mike, summer weather can really bring that extreme heat, some of those powerful thunderstorms that you mentioned, flash flooding, and occasionally tropical storms or some of those other weather-related concerns. So what we recommend this month and really throughout the year is two things. One is staying connected with your utility service providers, so your Aquarion, your Frontier, your Eversource, your Spectrum, your Optimum, so you can be aware when there are outages in your area. And what we also highlighted in our newsletter this month is that we want to make sure that everyone has a plan in place to contact one another and their family and reconnect if they're separated in a weather-related or any kind of disaster. What we recommend for some of the steps to get started is step one is meet with your family, put together a plan by discussing some of these questions. How will I receive emergency alerts and warnings? So that's what I just mentioned about making sure we're signing up and staying connected with our utility providers. Number two, we want to talk about what our shelter plan is. Number three, what is our evacuation route? Number four, what is our family and household communication plan? So, how are we connecting and communicating with each other? And think about what we have to do in situations if, maybe our phones are losing power, maybe we don't have service. How do we navigate some of those situations? And do I need to update my emergency preparedness kit? We really urge everyone to have a kit that they have in their own homes, whether that contains some shelf-stable food, maybe a portable charger for any cell phones or other types of devices that they can use in these emergencies. We also recommend a step two, assessing household needs. So as we prepare this plan with our families, we want to be able to customize our different plans and supplies to our family's specific daily living needs and responsibilities. And then really making sure that after we establish this plan with our family, we're practicing the plan. So practicing your emergency disaster plan ensures safety by testing your communication methods, evacuation routes, and helps work out any potential issues. So really this kind of mirrors, I remember back when I was in school learning about how we should have a fire safety plan with our family. Unfortunately, if you have young children, if you have anyone in your home who maybe is part of a vulnerable population, we want to make sure that we're telling them what we can do when we're making a plan that everyone's on the same page with. If there's a fire or something like that, now we're really expanding that for any other type of emergency disaster that could happen, whether it's weather-related, flood-related, things of that nature.
I know in our house, we have also a plan for our pets because sometimes people forget if you need to move them to a better place, how are you going to do that, especially if you have multiples? So I would throw pets into that plan as well.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Mike.
And we are talking with Amy Beth G, who is the Director of Health for the Housatonic Valley Health District. We meet once each month to talk about issues that are on the mind of the health district and to update you on any particular things you may be in need of hearing more information about. The Housatonic District is Sharon, New Milford, Oxford, Southbury, Washington, and Woodbury. However, the health districts are throughout the state of Connecticut, and you would look up the one for your town. For example, one of the neighboring ones is the Torrington Area Health District, and they all do this same kind of work. At one show, we'll have to talk about exactly what the health districts do to educate people there, but we're out of time for this one. So thank you so much, Amy. We look forward to this each month.
I do too, Mike. Thank you for having me.